Welcome back to Racecast after one of what I would say one of the most interesting weekends of the season. Obviously we've got lots to talk about, but before we get into that, please do give us 5 stars on whatever audio platform you're listening, if that, like, if they allow you to do so, basically. If it's Amazon, Apple, Spotify. Obviously, I don't know why I said Amazon first, because Spotify and Apple are going to be the big ones. So do that. If you're listening anywhere else, if you can do anything, that is great. Somehow we jumped to, like, we jumped 99 places in the fantasy sports charts. So,
but this week we've dropped 90.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah, well, life needs balance, so that's good. So yeah, get us back up another 99 places. By getting involved, give us 5 stars and subscribe to us where you can. I think you can do that on, you can like follow people on Spotify and stuff. So do that. Also follow us on social media. Just search Racecast. You will find us. Are you ever going to start doing that again?
What's that?
The social media?
Yeah.
Because we do have a big race this weekend. We have got Mexico. We're going to talk all things Austin, but we are going to talk a little bit about Mexico, just to give you our thoughts, our predictions, and how we think it's going to go. So you're going to hear a little car noise, and then we're going to crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along. Yeah, so just going on what Lucas said, interestingly, on my Instagram the other day, I had a comment put on there. It was actually off my wedding photo day, okay? Mm-hmm. Going, where's Racecast gone? Stop being inconsistent. I was like...
In fairness, it's a fair point, but we are consistent with the podcast is out every single week.
So, I need to get back on it with regards to edits and stuff like that.
It's a little bit difficult with the Reels content, because obviously we don't film it now. Mm. So if anyone has any ideas, like, I did have the idea of playing the audio over, like, but then it pisses me off because I'm buying into something I hate. You know, like, now you watch a lot of videos and they're like half and half. One of them will be like a fucking car driving on Grand Theft Auto or something.
Yeah.
And then the other half will be like the actual video that you're listening to and watching.
What, like Angry Ginge or something?
What, does he do that?
Well, no, I don't think he does it, but there's a lot of videos of him talking and there's like a car like...
Or like just... a video game like going on. Like, that is because humans now, due to like TikTok, Instagram, have like ridiculously short attention spans. So they need...
I'm one of them.
Something to watch rather than actually watching what you're listening to and watching individuals sit down and talk, because we are getting pretty fucked up. So I don't really want to buy into that. That was my idea of like, oh, okay, well, we could just play the audio over like some of this and at least we're posting content. Or like, yeah, I don't know. We'll have a think about it because we do want to get consistent. But we are consistent. All right, I'm not going to take that comment. He can fuck off because we are consistent. On the podcast, we upload every single week, every Wednesday, sometimes at 5 o'clock, but like at least by 7 o'clock if an error. But like every Wednesday, Racecast is out. So can't call us inconsistent because that's bullshit. You're a liar. Yep. We are very consistent, but we are very inconsistent on social media. And that is simply because it is just harder to post content when we're not filming.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because I find the audio more chilled than I did when it was filming, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose I do miss the filming.
Filming is a bit long when you don't have, like, a proper setup. And, like, obviously, we film in my office, which we have, like, a nice little set. Hmm. But we have to, like, set it up every time. And then we lost our editor, who like, now works for F1, which is sick.
Yeah. Not for us, but for him.
Yeah, it was not very good for us. We were fuming, but...
God, livid.
But, and, you know, we don't really have time.
Why didn't we put a contract in place for him? Like, he has to give us 6 months' notice or something.
Yeah, well, in his unpaid job.
£0 an hour.
So if anyone wants to edit for us, quality, maybe we'll bring back the video. But for now, we are going to stick with this. And, yeah, we'll think about the social content. The thing is like...
Or if anyone wants to help us with the social content.
Yeah, we can
not have necessarily like edit,
a Racecast reporter.
Yeah.
Because that is one thing I fucking hate. Like, I'm not going to do TikToks and shit. That's just not who I am.
Yeah.
Unless a brand is paying me to do so.
But we did have people who wanted to do that at the beginning, you know, who actually wanted to do some posts or they wanted to do some you know, write-ups or whatever. And we never really took them up. So maybe we need a full rebrand and actually look at what we want to do. You know,
not a rebrand,
but look at what we want to do with regards to content going forward. Yeah. Maybe we'll have one of those business meetings where we just
don't do them. Do a business meeting.
Welcome along. Hope you guys are all good. And you probably will recognise that the time of the podcast last week did go up again late because Luke uploaded it, and I have to normally message him going, have you forgot the podcast? And his response is, yeah.
Nah, that's not my response. Normally I say, nah, like, I meant to do it, which I didn't. It just slips my mind sometimes. Okay,
what did you say? you did it in memory of Lewis Hamilton's seventh world title at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock. Granted, sometimes I do forget. But it does always go out on Wednesday.
So it does.
Lay off the inconsistent remarks. That's just not true.
No, but you know, and we're filming again. It'll go out tomorrow. But yeah, welcome along. Hope you guys are all good. And Austin this weekend.
Yeah, it's actually on right now. We've got the race playing.
We have seen the race, but we're currently on lap two of the highlights. I was thoroughly impressed because going into this weekend, I'm quite, you know, going from Qatar, which I enjoy. I like Qatar. Going to Austin.
Well, this is always a good race.
It is to a certain point, but there's some races which they just walk away with them. The last couple of years, absolutely fine. I mean, what did we have last year? Lewis chasing down seven laps to go, or Max chasing down Lewis seven laps to go. That was good.
Year before, obviously, we had
Max and Lewis. Max won that as well.
2020, we weren't there.
2020, we weren't there. I don't know. It's not something which I get.
See, I actually really like the track. I think the track is sick.
Yeah, I like the fast corners, sector one.
And like I said, I like it because they do the American thing properly, unlike the artificial, like, commercial bullshit that you get at Miami and that we're inevitably going to get at Las Vegas, which is a bit different because Las Vegas is more of like a... Las Vegas is a show.
Yeah.
Whereas the Miami thing, I just feel like they're trying so hard.
Okay, so you've obviously got... How many US tracks is there? Three this year? Rank them.
Oh, what, in terms of the actual track?
In terms of the
obviously
track.
It's quite hard to rank. I'm going to say...
All right, okay, let me rephrase that. Going into this season, rank your top three that you're most excited for.
Well, Las Vegas, because it's not happened.
Yeah.
Then Kota, then Miami.
Yeah.
Miami just doesn't do it for me.
No.
I think it's quite fun to race on the game.
I'd love a New York track.
New York would be pretty sick. But then it would just be a square. Have you seen New York? Have you ever been to New York? It's just blocks.
Yeah, I still think I could make something decent there.
I really disagree. Every corner would be a 90-degree corner.
Okay. Valid point.
And then it would just be straight. And then a 90-degree right. And then straight. And then a 90-degree left. I like the concept.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can execute on it.
No, valid point. So headed into this weekend, we knew it was going to be a sprint race. That's what, two sprint races in a row now? Qatar.
Yeah.
Then obviously Austin. And...
Max Verstappen made some comments about this.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. So,
I actually agreed with him.
Yeah. So Max Verstappen, I think after the sprint race, was kind of like, he was asked whether he enjoys them. His response is basically, I don't really see the point of it because everyone kind of knows what's going to happen.
He says it ruins it, the spectacle of like waking up on a Sunday and not knowing what is going to happen in the race.
Which we have said. We've said on numerous times, you know, the reason why we like... I suppose it's a bit different. If you're going there and watching it, you want to see as much action as possible because you want to get the most out of it. These tickets aren't cheap anymore.
No.
And actually, if you're going to get a race on a Saturday and a race on a Sunday, your quid's in because you're kind of like, do you know what?
I will caveat that because we saw Max in 19 laps, the sprint?
Yep.
We saw Max get a 9-second lead, right?
Yeah.
He gained a 9-second advantage on second place, Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Who then gained like a 7-second place. Max didn't have that advantage in the race.
No.
And
no.
The Mercedes, you know, George was really quick in the sprint. He didn't quite have that in the race. Whether that was down to strategy or not, I don't know. But the Lewis, I think the Max thing was interesting. Because he clearly wasn't as quick as he seemed in the sprint. But yeah. I 100% agree with his point that it kind of does ruin it because you kind of do have an understanding. But
the outcome was no different from the sprint to the actual race. I mean, and we said before, if we're introducing these sprint races, they have to be at the right tracks. And I think this year it's been better.
Yeah.
I liked the Qatar one.
Yeah.
I didn't mind this weekend's, to be fair. Nope. They're not my favourite things, but, you know, it's a bit of extra racing, isn't it? But I do agree to a certain extent with Max on why he doesn't like it. But I don't know. I think it's something which, if you're there...
Oh, yeah, obviously.
It's probably a bit more exciting.
If you're there on, like, for the whole weekend, as a fan in the stands, and we said this, as fans sitting at home, obviously it's more to watch from, like, an entertainment value.
Yeah.
But I think fans actually love Formula One and love the whole process and everything that goes into it. I think practice is better for you because, yeah, it saves the spectacle of the race. Mm. It allows teams to maximize their cars and it gives them the ability to actually extract all the performance they can out of it without being hindered by these sprint races, which obviously there's a point that we're going to touch on at some point regarding the disqualifications. Mm. That could have been impacted by only having one free practice session.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's a double-edged sword in some sense, isn't it? Because you want more action, but actually, on the other hand, for people we like the practice sessions because we continue to learn and a bit more about the cars.
Here's the thing, right? We want more action, true. But we want more action in race.
Yeah.
You could give us three races over the weekend. If we're going to have the same outcome, what's the fucking point? Yeah. If you really want the fans to enjoy it, keep everything as it is, but really do your best to make these cars as close as possible while still being able to have the innovation element. And we want cars to be different. But, you know, we said it a number of times this season. Not even the Red Bull. You take Verstappen in that Red Bull out of the competition and it's an incredible season. Mm. So, and that obviously that's no like slander to Max or Red Bull, but like if we can just do something to close that gap up, we don't need the sprint weekends. No. They bring nothing extra to it. Everyone knows we live for the Sunday. The Sunday is what F1 is all about.
Yeah.
And the parts in between are great for like trying to figure out yourself. How is Sunday going to look? Well, you know, they were really quick in the long runs in FP2. And then in FP3 where we had less representative times, like this person was really quick. So maybe the track's cooler in qualifying. They're going to, you know, you draw your own conclusions.
Yeah.
When you see a sprint race, you've got one practice session where they're kind of not doing a great deal. I mean, they're trying to collect as much data in a short amount of time. So you don't get like a true read of long runs.
And also they're trying to save tyres.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's that type of aspect as well. I mean, and I agree with you. We'll touch on, you know, the disqualifications later, but actually in those practice sessions, that's how you really work your car. That's
especially
how you get
when
the best
bringing
setup.
Upgrades.
Yeah. And that's how you get to a point where you kind of go, okay, you know, where are we at heading into this weekend? So I prefer the practice sessions. I like the Saturday of going, okay, you know, qualifying. You know, look at Hungary this year, for example. How excited was that? You know, you had practice and then, you know, on a Saturday, you're kind of, oh, is Lewis getting pole? That was the exciting aspect.
And then because also, you then thought, actually, he's got a chance in the race here. Mm. But if you'd had a sprint race, you would have then had the sprint shootout. Maybe he got P1 again, maybe not. But let's just say, for example's sake, he did.
Yeah.
And Max gets P2, sprint race, Max fucks off, right? And he finishes 10 seconds ahead. Instantly, now you're thinking, well, the race is going to be the same, so that's good, isn't it? No excitement for the race then, because instantly you're just like, well, yeah, Lewis is starting P1, but as soon as Max overtakes him, that's it. And fair enough, we might have all drawn our own conclusions to that anyway, but we had no evidence to back it up. So we went into the race still dreaming. Mm. Maybe there's a Lewis win here.
Sprint races would be good if you had closer racing across the whole board. And that's a fact. If you knew that whole season was, it could be Ferrari, it could be Red Bull, it could be Mercedes, it could be McLaren, who, you know, all these points are all contributing to that championship. But there isn't anything.
I would rather just simply a more exciting Sunday every week.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Let us know what your thoughts are. Do you like a sprint race? Do you not? So let's touch on qualifying, because qualifying was an interesting one. So track limits again came into full force this weekend.
Yeah.
And it was Aston Martin's. I mean, they were pretty much non-existent. They brought in an upgrade this weekend, which everyone was thinking, everyone was going, oh, it's a big upgrade. It's going to be exciting.
It was a downgrade. It was awful. You know, actually, in the race, Alonso ran the old spec floor.
He went back, yeah.
And Alonso had a banging race. I know he retired due to, was it like a suspension issue or something? He started from the pits and he was up in the points.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have no idea what the Aston Martin engineers are doing, but
What do you say if you're working really hard at the garage and you're like, guys, we've got this really good upgrade. Yeah, get it. You know, everything's looking good for it. It turns up and it's like, what is this?
It's like taking your car for an MOT and it comes out with three wheels and one door. You'd be like, what the fuck? And they'd be like, yeah. We made it better. It's good. Safer now. You'd be like, what have you done?
Aerodynamics. The aero team have done a really good job here.
They are absolutely butchering that car.
Yeah.
Because obviously at the start of the season, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And
obviously we haven't seen Fernando Alonso off the podium since that time where he said, you're not going
to... Yeah, that came back to haunt him, to be honest. And somehow he's still third in the championship.
He's not.
I meant fourth.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like,
yeah, no, he somehow, but like he's still on like, he's on like 180 points. So it goes to show how important it can be starting the season off on the right foot, because it can all change. But if you generate, you know, we can look at the Brawn season as the perfect example. If you generate enough points early on and you start off right, chances are you're going to be okay. But you
look at the McLarens over the last couple of years. They've started off so bad that they only seem to pick up their points in the second half of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, McLaren have had like a complete turnaround. Yeah. So, you know, in this circumstance, it's absolutely fine as well, because they're going to have a great platform going in. You know, I'd rather be McLaren starting off terribly and then ending how strong they've ended, rather than Aston Martin, who have actually tried to improve the car and have just made it fucking worse.
Butchered it. Absolutely butchered it.
And to be fair, it is hard to tell whether they've made it worse or whether they just haven't made it as good as the other cars. So I still think the start of next season is going to be interesting on that front. But yeah, God help Aston Martin at this point.
What am I clicking on? Sorry, give me a second. So qualifying. We were expecting McLaren to be quite strong. We said that last week. I thought Ferrari would be there as well. And they were. Charles Leclerc, I have to say, I didn't really like his helmet initially, but once I saw it in closer detail, I was quite a fan of it. A little like NFL.
I personally don't like it. I think the green and the red, I don't know, it looks like a terrible like Christmas homage. It's not for me, but Charles Leclerc, I mean, really, really solid through quali, I think. But again, right, then we had the sprint race and it was like, well, he's not going to win the race, because instantly you saw that had the Ferrari tire deg.
Yeah.
How awful. I know Sainz was on softs during the sprint, but yeah, okay, he can set these blinding laps, but their tyre deck is so shit that the car just drops off.
It was interesting because heading into the race, I was like, Ferrari won't do well.
Yeah.
Piastri will have a shocker.
Piastri was off. I thought George would have a shocker as well.
Yeah. And Perez, I didn't think would do much, if that makes sense. So
he didn't do too much, did he?
No, he didn't. But let's just go back to qualifying. So both Aston Martin and Williams went out in Q1, along with Hülkenberg. Not really surprised about Sargeant going out in Q1. But Albon, I was expecting... There was a glimmer of actually quite strong pace there, but I was quite surprised that he went out in Q1.
Yo, Albon... Where is it Albon overtook George?
That was in sprint.
Yeah.
So, Q2, Danny Ric was back. And I mean, to be fair to him, for his first race back, he was all right. He wasn't too bad. He was 15th on qualifying. Tsunoda was P11. Both Zhou and Bottas, P12 and 13th, and Magnussen, P14. I mean, I don't know. If you're Haas, right? They are one of the most boring teams on the grid at the moment, I'm finding.
Yeah. They've got a weird car as well. Sometimes it qualifies really well.
Yeah.
But it never races well.
K-Mag. Hülkenberg qualifies well.
Hulk qualifies well.
Yeah.
K-Mag is a... Yeah, interesting how they both got contracts for next season.
Yeah.
Hulk, I understand.
They must be cheaper.
Obviously, Haas are a budget team. But, yeah, you know, the same goes for Alfa Romeo.
Yeah,
Really, really boring team at the moment. Obviously, they're... Sauber from next season. Yeah. Have they got a new sponsor for next season?
It's 25, isn't it?
I thought Alpha was dropping. It was dropping this year, but maybe at the end of this year, maybe that's a lie. But yeah, obviously, you know, they just haven't done anything, and they kind of had. There was glimmers last year of like, actually, they've got like an okay midfield car here.
Well, they got all their main points in the first half of last year, and they scored only like 6 points in the last second half.
Yeah.
But yeah, I Haas and Alfa Romeo struggling. One thing I want to discuss actually quickly, because it was quite... Andretti? Is it Andretti?
Andretti.
Yeah. Andretti. They were there this weekend, and Sky F1...
American team.
Yeah, but Sky won, because obviously they're trying to get into F1 in 2025, I think it is.
Is it not 26? When the new regs come in?
No, they've got a car with these current regs that they could join, they say, in from 25.
So they built a car?
Yes.
Why would they do that? What a waste of money. To get in for 1 year.
Well, they obviously have the money. But they're regs which are then building towards 26 and onwards. There's a few teams on the paddock apparently who have quite an issue with it and are not really going for it really.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, we can have 24 teams, 24 cars on the grid.
12 teams.
12 teams, 24 cars. I'm all for it. I don't quite understand.
I can tell you exactly why they're not for it.
Because they get less slice of the pie.
Yeah, so the prize money doesn't change.
No.
So, but the prize money that you receive obviously does change. Let's say, for example's sake, it's 100 million. Well, if you were getting 10 million with another team in, you're going to get like a percentage less than that based on the additional team. So also, I actually read another interesting thing of like, because James Vowles is obviously heavily against it. Now, a big part of that, someone was talking about the sponsors that Williams have actually lost over the previous years from teams coming in. Like, for example, they lost JCB to Aston Martin, like a new team coming in. So I think there's also that where these big teams can come in, like Andretti. For the first season, obviously, they're going to be like a massive marketing thing. Oh, the new team in F1, like, we're back to like 11 cars or like more than 10 different teams on the grid. It is going to be a huge marketing thing. So why are they not going to approach some of these sponsors? Why would they not be like, well, we can swipe a sponsor from Williams? You know, they might not be able to from Mercedes or Red Bull or Ferrari, because why are you going to leave them to go and sponsor Andretti?
Yeah.
But the smaller teams, you know, they might look at a Haas sponsor, be like, well, we know they like advertising, we know they pay, let's go after them. Why wouldn't they want to come to Andretti? You know, we're going to be the big name in that year. And yeah, they will be. So I can understand it. You know, then they have to go out and find more sponsors. What if they can't? What if they can't get the same money? Now they're bringing less money in. And also the prize pool is smaller.
Yeah, I get it. And I just think...
From a fan perspective...
From a fan point of view, it's an exciting prospect that there's another team coming in who's challenging. I think because it's an American team, that brings a hell of a lot more exposure, especially with the amount of circuits we go into now. Well, brings more exposure.
It
brings
also Andretti are a proper team.
Yeah. But I don't see what the negative is with this, because I think...
Well, I mean, you're bringing more. Surely you can see the negative.
No, I can... Okay, let me rephrase that. I can see the negatives, but I also think that actually with it will potentially bring more exposure, more fans to the... to the viewership of it, and actually it will allow teams to potentially get more merchandise sales because there's more fans coming to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I completely get it from the team perspective, honestly. Like, why they don't want it.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense, you know, it's like... Well, it would just be like, oh, Matt, we're going to employ another person at work. You've got to take a 20% pay cut. You'd be like, ooh, hang on, don't do that. Like, just, why can't we just keep it how it is?
19.
They're just like, nah.
Yeah. No, I get it. But if you're F1, if the FIA, if you're allowed up to 12 teams.
No, it makes sense for the FIA. Of course.
I mean.
But like, it's the teams that are protesting, not the FIA.
Yeah. Well, in that case, we'll start getting rid of some other teams. Get rid of people like Haas or Alfa Romeo.
I would welcome that, like, you know, changes to teams, like a takeover of a team, and actually, you know, because Haas don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Can we just get, you know, why don't like Lamborghini buy them or something?
Why don't we do every 4 years we do an election and then a team gets kicked out?
Oh yeah, that could be quite cool.
Like a Big Brother type style, right? Your fans vote for what teams they want out.
Yeah, you could do like draft. That's what they do in the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you imagine? You're coming around every 4 years. Right. Davina McColl is actually doing the announcement of who's been evicted.
I reckon that would go down quite well, honestly. And they're trying to make it American anyway, so it fits with the narrative they're trying to play into.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think adding a new team would be exciting.
Yeah.
And that is probably from just a fan point of view. And I do understand what the teams are saying, but I think... it potentially gives that oomph to go, okay, we got to be better. And actually, it may bring even more sponsorships, because if Andretti only get, you know, we're going to sponsor them, there might be more sponsors who want to come into F1 and go, oh, actually, I see that Williams or someone hasn't got, you know, a sponsor. We could actually do that, go with them.
Yeah, but it's not like everyone knows F1 exists.
No, I know. But again, that goes to the exposure. So if you're... The American market is such a big market.
Yeah, so of course.
You are going to bring more sponsors to it. If you've got an American team there, they're going to want to be part of F1, whether that's with Andretti or whether that's with another team. That's potentially going to offer more sponsorships.
Well, yeah, especially like if they do get like a big American following, from, as in like a bigger, you know, like, you know how you always support like the homegrown? Yeah, if it's like that, where they're like, oh, now we've got Andretti. Because obviously Andretti are a big racing team in the States. Like, yeah. They're well known. Let's see. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. Let us know what your thoughts are. I think it'll be quite exciting. So just finishing off on qualifying. So Leclerc qualified on pole. Norris was P2. Hamilton was P3. Obviously, Verstappen got a lap time deleted.
Lovely. Which he did... What I will say is this lap was incredible, because he locked up into turn one.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's over. And then, yeah, obviously he got track limits on the second to last turn, where pretty much everyone was getting it. obviously because he was having to push so hard. But yeah, it's nice. It mixes up the race. He was even pretty excited by it, to be honest. So yeah, it gave us a lovely bit of excitement, which, you know, is something that is a rarity this season.
Yeah.
She was nice.
Yeah, just signed for McLaren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Lando. Zak Brown.
Wait, is she F1 Academy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's being televised now, which is sick.
It is, yeah. There's only like two episodes left or something. Or another. There's only one left, I think.
Two episodes?
Not episodes.
Races?
Races left. Sorry, episodes. Let's touch on the grid sprint race. It kind of went the way I expected. A good start from Max on pole. He's very aggressive. He doesn't change, does he, with his aggression. Completely pushed Leclerc off. Leclerc didn't really have anywhere to go.
I thought it was borderline. And the only reason I thought it was borderline is because he genuinely nearly smashed him into the pit wall.
Yeah.
As in, like, the outer bit, not, like, the side of the track, the bit that, like...
Funny enough, the FIA didn't even look at it.
No, I think it was kind of like on the limit.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect any less from Max. And I think Martin Brundle made the point of, well, Leclerc probably didn't say anything because he knows that he's in P1 next week. The next day. And he knows that he would do the same.
Yeah.
So I don't think Leclerc was too bummed. I don't think anyone really cared. No one got hurt. It wasn't like incredibly dangerous or like, you know, it's just, it's what you do here. And you see that run up to turn one. It's a rough turn.
I do want to say, just going for the sprint qualifying, did you see the picture of Verstappen in Q2? Well, the sprint qualifying two.
It's
really a tough one, isn't it? Because I saw a lot of photos going, another track limits. How is this? How has it not been lap time deleted?
Yeah, but in that photo,
it's hard to see.
I didn't 100% see that his front left was not touching that white line. So
because I looked at it and I was like,
it's
questionable.
It's so easy to look at that stuff and be like, well, this is outrageous because, you know, we've got this. You know, I personally think Max does get an easier time from the FIA. That is my opinion. There's no facts that back that. But when I look at something like this, I think, well, I'm not going to buy into that because if it was black and white, like if he was off the line 100%, then I'd be like, yeah, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I think it's dangerous to play into that narrative when the evidence is not even 100% clear.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. I was a bit... When I saw it, because it was circulating a lot on social media, and I was like, it's hard to really say. But anyway, he got a good start. So did Hamilton. Hamilton got into P2 after the first corner, managed to take Leclerc. Again, there was questions, has, you know, Lewis gone off? You know, should he give that place back? I don't really see where Lewis could have gone. I thought Max went wide, pushed Lewis out. I thought it wasn't really much he could do.
I think if he did that at any other point in the race or any other point of the track within the first lap, he should have had to give it back.
Yeah.
But everyone knows, you do get like concessions in the first corner typically. And secondly, everyone knows that in particular, this first corner is chaos because there's such a long run up. It's such a wide corner and like you can take it from so many different angles. Yeah. You see that it just gets so messy. And if you're going to Lewis didn't purposely drive off the track.
No,
I think if like it was obvious, he just kept his foot down and just went well wide around the outside.
But I don't think there was anywhere he could have gone.
No. So I think
it's either that he goes into Charles or.
And which is why I was surprised that Max backed off Lewis in the race when he did it. I thought Max would have just gone for it. And if he had gone for it, I would have thought, yeah, like fair play. Yeah. But Yeah, it's one of those. First lap concession, you know, if Lewis overtook Lando Norris like that when he overtook him in the race,
yeah,
you got to give that back.
We'll touch on Lando Norris in a bit because something which we spoke about a few weeks ago literally was facts again this weekend. But stay tuned for that. So the race finished Verstappen, Hamilton P2, Charles P3, Norris P4 and Perez P5. I mean, on a whole, Russell did get P8, just. He had a 5-second penalty again for track... was it track limits?
I think it was track limits.
Yeah. I think it... I can't...
What did he get 5 seconds? I'll be honest, I didn't watch the sprint race. I was at my parents'.
I know, I watched it in the morning.
No, I did watch the sprint. No, I wasn't at my parents'. I was out at the pub.
Okay.
Obviously. I watched back the highlights. I actually can't remember what George did.
No.
Are you sure it wasn't track limits?
It might have been. I honestly can't remember.
We are up to date. Relevant news.
Relevant news. Yeah. Let's skip sprint race because there wasn't really much happened in that. Max just went flying off. Let's get into the race, shall we? So... Max was in P6. This actually called for quite an exciting race.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, you know, Charles on P1, Lando followed by Hamilton. So good start. Lando, good, decent start by Lando.
Mm-hmm.
Took Charles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then from then, Charles just struggled, didn't he? He just struggled whole time.
It's a really bad race car, that Ferrari.
It's always a bad race car, but when you have a bad strategy, doesn't help.
Look, we can touch on Ferrari's strategy, but again, they fucked him. They know they've got the car with the worst deck. If they didn't already know that, the sprint race confirmed it. They didn't need long runs in practice to confirm that. They had a sprint race and then they one-stop him. Oh my God. I mean,
I don't quite understand where they were going with that.
Yeah. But we could talk about Ferrari strategies all day long.
Yeah.
But I think you guys understand the point.
How do you want to do this? Do you want to go, should we go by each driver like we normally do?
No, what are you just looking at the leaderboard now?
Yeah, no, well, let's go by the actual race finish. So Max, he struggled a bit more than I was expecting in the actual race,
especially when you compare it to the sprint race.
Yeah,
it was weird.
He did struggle. There's a lot of struggle with his brakes as well, he was complaining of.
Yep, he did have a brake issue.
And then him on the radio, man, like,
this is one thing I do find about Max is, as soon as, like, there's something wrong with the car, Jesus Christ, he cries. Like, it's, I don't know, it's quite petulant. I find him just a bit jarring. Like, he's had the fucking best car by a mile all season.
Yeah.
Then he has a little brake issue and he starts having a meltdown. It's like, fuck me, mate, you've already won the championship. Well,
didn't he say in one of them, what the fuck's wrong with this piece of shit or something?
Yeah.
He literally, and I was like, how can you say that? You've got like the best car probably F1 has ever seen.
You won like 12 races in a row, however many it was. Like, fucking hell, man. But yeah, I mean, you know, generally another very clinical drive from Max.
Yeah.
Nothing, did nothing wrong. Yeah, just a typical Max drive, and obviously got his 50th career win. So that's a big achievement.
No. And I think, on a whole, he was pretty... He looked like he was in control in the sense of he was going to get the win. He didn't really look... Maybe towards the end, a bit under pressure from Hamilton.
I was going to say, this is a good segue into Lewis because Lewis obviously had a really good race.
Solid race. The car looked good.
They had... In my opinion, right?
Yeah.
As far as I could see, without actually looking into any of the data, but watching the race, Lewis was the fastest man on track.
Yeah.
First stint, I'm talking here. They knew that McLaren had preserved two sets of hards for Lando Norris.
Yeah.
What we were also learning is that the medium, used mediums, were quicker than new hards.
Yeah.
Why the hell did they offset Lewis? Now, I understood it. It made sense for a little bit. And then I was thinking, like, Lewis was going to catch him anyway.
Yeah.
Now, all they've done is just put Max in front of him, which now that's a tall order.
Yeah.
I think Lewis could have managed the gap to Max, but overtaking Max when he's behind him is a different story. So it was just unnecessary taking that gamble. Second place, fastest man on track, got better tyres in the locker.
Yeah.
And then obviously, when it comes into the pit stops, in typical Mercedes fashion, Lewis has a 3.5 second stop and like a 3.4 second stop. Even that one, we've just witnessed George Russell have a 2.8 second stop.
It cost him.
It's,
apart from the disqualification, you
it's,
actually...
It's just not good enough.
No.
Because and, that is... What did Lewis end up? Obviously, Max really started suffering with the brakes towards
seconds.
The end.
It was 2 seconds, the gap at the end.
It was like 1.5, wasn't it?
No, it was 2.2.
But Lewis backed off on that last lap. But he'd got it down to like 1.5 or something at one point.
You take away those 1 second or so from the pit stop.
Well, it's 2 seconds in total. And all of a sudden, Lewis is within DRS and...
potentially on for the win.
Yeah, piling on the pressure to Max. It's just relentless.
You know, we're watching this now, 3.6. Struggled with the front left. I get that.
I saw a stat. Let me tell you this stat because it's unbelievable.
Okay.
Now, this is not going to be 100% accurate, but it was roughly this. Out of like the top teams, McLaren, Red Bull, Ferrari, and Mercedes, what percentage do you think all the teams have of a under 2.5 second stop?
Percentage?
Yeah.
Of,
okay. So I'll give you an example. Yeah. I think Red Bull's was like, I'm pretty sure it was like 60% of their stops are under 2.5 seconds.
Yeah. So you want me to go with each team, yeah?
Yeah.
So McLaren, I'd probably say 52%.
I think it was around, it was in the 50s.
Yeah. Ferrari, I'd probably say 47-48%.
I think theirs was about 44.
44. Mercedes, I would probably say 25%.
2%.
What? Being under...
2% of their pit stops. I'm not sure whether it's this season.
Yeah.
I assume maybe it is this season. It was like 2.3% or something.
But this is what I don't understand. It's like, you know, and we've discussed it in the past, is that you're a top team. Okay, I can understand if this was happening if you're like in an Aston Martin, or not an Aston Martin, so Haas or whatever. But you're one of the most best teams we've seen in the last 10, 20 years, whatever.
It's all well and good when you've got a rocket ship.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, like 1 second doesn't matter because you're 1 second quicker anyway. It does matter when you're competing here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they might not have had to worry about it before.
Yeah.
Now they do. And they either need to upskill people or they need to fire people.
Yeah.
That's the ruthless nature of the game.
Especially when you've got McLaren doing a 1.8 and you're almost 2 seconds slower than that.
Yeah. Like, you know,
it's just mad.
And 1.8 is alien. Let's be real here. Yeah. But what we do expect consistently is 2.3s. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Red Bull can do it.
Red Bull get like a 2.2 every time. It's, you know, and
they don't even need to. They could do a 5 second pit stop and they'll still go and win. But I think, yeah, Toto Wolff has come out and said that it's an area they need to look at. No shit, really.
Yeah, they should have looked at it sooner. Yeah. Like, because this has been it was a problem last season.
Yeah. No, it's been a problem for years.
Yeah, it has been.
And I think, you know, a prime example is, do you remember Monza when Lewis had a
slow stop
and then came out and they caused that crash?
Yeah.
Granted, Red Bull had a slow stop then, but Mercedes' slow stop again caused them to come out in their position. So it's been going on for years, but fortunately for them, they managed to offset that by actually being so quick so they could catch people's cars.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they're not in that position now. And I think We're touching on the disqualifications in a bit, but Hamilton on the whole, I thought had a very solid weekend.
Really don't understand how he didn't get driver of the day. No. They gave it to Lando Norris, who we'll now touch on. Do you like, I'm liking my segues.
Yeah, you are, good segues.
They gave it to Lando Norris, who started P2, got P1. That was fair enough, decent. Not hard against the Ferrari this weekend, in my opinion, but yeah, he did a good job. He then absolutely opened the door for Max to let him through. Did he just moved off the racing line?
We've spoken about this before, isn't it? And I find it very embarrassing. And I put in the group chat, didn't I? I was like, how long do you think it would be? Was it odds on Lando moving out of the way for Max?
And he parked up and waved him through.
It was embarrassing. You put something in the chat today, didn't you, actually, about it? The photo.
I didn't put the photo. Someone did.
Oh, Glenn did.
Yeah. He completely moves off the racing line and just lets him go.
This is what I don't understand. This whole concept of they're not in our race, or, you know, we've got to preserve our tyres, or we've got to...
No.
I don't buy into it.
They were. Lando was on for the win. He had to fight for P1.
Yeah.
He fought for P2. Fucking hell, he tried to kill Lewis just to hold on to P2. Why would you not show that energy for P1? I'm sorry, we'll probably see it
in a second, actually.
There's absolutely a race on here, and okay, fair enough, you think Max is going to overtake you. It's P1.
Well, yeah.
Fight for it. Why would you not do everything?
This is
to hold
why
that position?
This is the prime example that he's 100th race this weekend and he hasn't won a race. This is exactly why Danny Ric, Piastri, granted it was a sprint race, has actually won something.
Yeah.
Because they're aggressive. Do you know, for God's sake, even Lawson in the Netherlands, in the Dutch Grand Prix, fought Max Verstappen.
Yeah. I just don't understand it. And, you know, maybe Norris has had the excuse previously of, well, Max isn't my race.
No.
Now he
but
is.
But he is your race now.
You've got a very quick car.
Yeah.
So, no.
For me, it's a bit embarrassing. Because
no, it is embarrassing. It's tragic.
He says he wants to be a future world champion. At this rate, if that's how he's going to fight people, he'll be lucky if he gets a race win.
Yeah.
Because you can't win races by allowing your friend through.
No.
It doesn't work.
I agree. And then, you know, you see he, like, literally tries to wipe out Lewis.
Yeah.
And it's just like, who is your racer, mate? Because Lewis was just as quick as Max. So what are you racing for? Yeah. Because you don't want P1. Do you care about P2 more than P1?
I think it was just, I think that overtake, which Lewis did on Lando in the final stint, was, I initially thought he moved double times, if that makes sense. A couple of times.
Twice,
yeah, that times, yeah. Look, okay, watch it. Is this the one?
Nah, he's too far back here.
Yeah.
It'll be next lap, though, I imagine.
I watched it and I was like, it looks like he moved twice there. But it just seems quite an aggressive. He's aggressive when it suits him. But when it comes to Max, he's I don't know if he's got a deal with Red Bull in the future. Like,
well, probably, yeah.
You know, but if I'm his team principal,
he's not at Red Bull now. He's at McLaren, and whether you're a footballer who's signed a pre-contract agreement with Chelsea and you play for Man United, if you're playing against Chelsea in a Man United shirt and the goal opens up, take a fucking shot.
Kick it into the crowd.
Because that's your job. That's what you're meant to do. So
I don't know. I was just a bit disappointed with Lando. I thought he would have put up a better fight than that.
Yeah.
And I think if you want to get that credibility of being, you know, a top driver, and I'm not saying he's not a top driver, but if you want to fight the best, you need to be able to go head to, you know, toe to toe with these drivers. Yeah. And that's why I still stand to this day that the only person who can really go head to head with Max Verstappen is Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't, you know, okay, maybe Alonso, if his, you know, the beginning of the season, he went head to head with Max for a bit, didn't he? But
not really.
Well, I think he's the only one who would actually give him a good go in the battle. Yeah. I just think now people just seem to move out of the way and just, here we go. Oh, we're just watching it now. Still not this lap, is it?
I know, next. Must be next one. But yeah.
Anyway.
No, yeah. And then, obviously, P4.
Carlos Sainz.
Had a very strong race.
Had a very strong race. And I can... He just went under the radar, really, didn't he?
He did. He's the only one who went... Sometimes that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, in the sprint race, he's the only one who went on the softs and actually did a pretty good...
But
He did. But in the race, yeah, on a whole, he came round, he looked quick. I thought he was going to catch up with...
Lando at one point.
Lando, but he ended up finishing 5 seconds behind that. So that didn't happen. Perez ended up being... Well, I'm saying... P5, he was actually P4 with the two score equations, but in theory he finished P5.
Not incredible. The Red Bull didn't seem to be at his best this weekend, but I was expecting Perez to move up a bit more. I mean, I know he started P9, but if Max started P9, he probably still would have won this race.
Yeah, and I suppose you're going up 6 spaces each time, but I don't know, a bit disappointing. Charles Leclerc was
originally P6.
P6. Again, I don't understand what they were doing by keeping him out, and he just got swallowed up at the end, didn't he? He didn't have a leg to stand on. His tyres were gone.
He's the only person to do a one stop, wasn't he?
Yeah, yes, he was. George Russell, I mean, again, not the most convincing race weekend.
No, he was really off the pace this weekend. It was quite strange.
Here we go. I mean, just watching the Lando thing, that's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's unacceptable, really. And there he backs out. He doesn't try and hang it around the outside.
I understand he might have been trying to think, oh, I'll do the switcheroo, but there's no way...
Why would you not shut the door on Max?
Yeah, no.
You know Max is going to lunge. He's incredible at it.
Yeah.
He's so effective at overtaking. He lunges from places.
Did no one watch Abu Dhabi 21?
Yeah, that lunge into that, Lewis wasn't expecting it at that point. And, you know, he makes them stick. So, yeah, I don't know if he went off or not. Hard to see from my side is what Lando said. He didn't go off.
No, you just gave him a lunge.
Yeah, well, you helped him through. But, yeah.
Pierre Gasly had quite a solid weekend.
Yeah.
He did all right. Stroll. Even picked up some points this weekend.
Yeah, again.
Considering he started from the pit lane.
Yeah, both Aston Martins had a really good race. I know Alonso had to retire, but he did have a good race up until that point. You know, it's a shame he had to.
You know, in theory, Stroll finished 9th, but went up to 7th. So got a good 6 points this weekend. So yeah, decent for him. Tsunoda got points this weekend. Again, very happy for him. Albon and Sargent.
Nice, a double. When was the last time? I'd like to know this. Was it Hungary 21? Last time Williams scored double points, as in like both drivers scored points.
I don't know.
I think it was Hungary 21.
Let us know.
Where did Latifi finish?
I know, Latifi got his first points in Japan. That season.
No.
Yeah, because we did that bet.
Was it Japan? Where was it? Where George is like, tell me what I need to do for Nikki.
Oh, yeah, perhaps that was 21. I'm thinking of last year, actually. Was it last year Latifi was still in the sport?
Yeah, he actually was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
Christ,
yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking of... God, that seems ages ago.
I swear it was...
Was it? I don't know.
When was the last time Williams scored double points? That's what I want to know.
Well, Austin last week.
Yeah, but like aside from that. No, it was Hungary.
Was it? Hungary.
Latifi got 7th. George Russell got 8th.
There you go. I thought it was longer than that, actually. It wasn't, was it?
But yeah, that was... That was also, was that the last time a driver got disqualified as well? Which was Seb.
Seb, yeah.
So, yeah, great weekend for Williams. I mean, they're killing it this season. Sargeant isn't. Albon obviously is.
I was going to say, who are you actually saying is...
But they are... The car looks strong in some areas.
James Fowles is doing wonders there.
Yeah, that team is going to turn around in the next couple of years. So keep your eye on
that. And them. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. Let's just touch on, because obviously Sargeant picking up his first points in F1 on his home race.
Not in the most dignified way, but a point's a point.
If you were Sargeant and you just got your first point, okay, and you're like, the only way you got it is because two cars have been disqualified.
Yep.
Are you taking it? Like, are you, when I say are you taking it, because you're obviously going to get the point, but absolutely. Are you going...
He got P12.
He got P12, yeah.
That's a decent race. Where did he start?
16th.
Which it was back of the grid.
Well, yeah, because the rest were in the pit lane, yeah.
So he's jumped four places.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's a solid race. That shows a bit of improvement.
Oh, yeah, definitely improvement. But I think if that was me and I was going, oh, you've just been given your... I wouldn't really shout about it, if that makes sense. I wouldn't be going, oh, yeah, I got my first point. Yeah, you got it because two cars got disqualified.
Yeah, but if two cars were ahead of you because they were cheating, what are you meant to do?
Yeah. Nice little segue into the disqualification. Look at you today.
Yeah, I know. Really? We will. Obviously, the rest of the grid is just the rest of the grid. But yeah, this is, we'll talk about top 10.
Disqualifications.
Yeah, that was horrible to wake up to.
I went to bed quite happy, actually. I was like, do you know what? P2, quite positive.
Yeah.
Heading to Mexico, I was thinking, okay, I'm all for this. I'm actually, I'll take that. Waking up on Monday morning, wasn't so joyful. When we find out that Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc have been disqualified. I wasn't overly impressed with this.
No, but I get it. Here's one of the things, right? What I'm not going to do is... I know there's a lot of, like, typical Lewis fans that get really upset and think the FIA are after him, but at the end of the day, the rules are the rules. And the rules were broken... albeit maybe probably unintentionally, but it's disappointing, and it does always feel like there's something stopping Lewis, whether that is like human's fault or whether it's a higher power intervening. Yeah. I don't know, but the rules are the rules.
Yeah,
and the cars got selected at random. I think this is to do with the lack of practice. They brought a new floor. They're clearly able to run the car lower.
Yeah.
We could visibly see that. It's just one of those things. And I think I was really annoyed when I saw it. I was like, for fuck's sake. And then I was glad. Then I was thinking, I'm glad he didn't win.
Yeah.
Because then I would be pissed.
Yeah.
But... What's it going to lose him? Oh, okay, he might not get P2 in the championship. Do I really care about that?
No, really. I think him getting P2 in the championship, don't get me wrong, it is what it is. The only thing I would like him to get P2 is because it would show that actually they've still managed to get P2 when they've got that rocket ship on the grid.
Yeah,
and they still can claim that. That's the only reason I would have liked him to get to P2. I mean, this is a 7-time world champion, 8-time world champion, who is used to being first. So him getting P2 isn't anything to shout about.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that one. But
and then Charles was probably grateful that he got disqualified. He probably just wishes it had come earlier during the race.
It's interesting, though, because... 50% of the cars obviously got disqualified. I am quite interested to see how many other cars would have got disqualified.
Yeah, I mean, because this is the thing, that there's four cars that are chosen at random.
Yeah.
You say random, right? So I've seen pictures of the Red Bull, the Ferrari and the Mercedes at the same corner.
Yeah.
The Red Bull's ride height is insane. It's not like ultra close to the ground at all. You see the Ferrari, the Mercedes, it's sparking and you can't see any daylight under the car. So whether they've looked at it and they've seen the footage and they've been like, hang on, this looks a bit dodgy, we'll make sure we call them in. I'm not sure how it works on the selection. But that is, it's part of the game. And these things happen. And if it is random, then that is unlucky that you get caught on probably one of the only times that this sort of thing happens. But yeah, the rules are the rules.
Yeah. No, and it is what it is.
I do find it interesting, though. You know, Lewis gets disqualified for having like 1 millimeter extra wear on his plank, and Red Bull can.
Well, didn't, wasn't
there Red Bull can break the cost cap and.
But hang on, wasn't there something last year in which I read, and I do remember it being that they had an illegal car and they had 5 races to change it or something.
Yeah, is it something to do with the flexi floor or yeah. something like that? Flexi.
So how's that acceptable?
Nah, because it is. It's all right, that.
Yeah, yeah. So I get they're trying to make it equal across the board and make it fair across the board, but it's just not fair.
Well, yeah, because I'm not calling double standards because, you know, Mercedes and Ferrari broke the rules.
Yeah, they screwed their drivers over.
So that ultimately they should be disqualified.
Yeah,
if that's 100%. The rules.
Yeah,
but yeah, then when you have things like the cost cap shit and all they get is like a financial penalty and stuff. So it's like, oh, okay, so if you, I'm going to call it cheating in inverted commas. If you cheat a little bit, you get disqualified.
Yeah.
If you cheat a lot, we're just going to fine you, but you can keep all your points.
Yeah.
It seems a bit backwards, but I think we've made our point clear.
Yeah, we have. Anything else to touch on? Oh, Mexico.
Obviously, Mexico, yeah. We'll keep Mexico brief.
We'll keep it brief.
Obviously, we'll review it next week. I'm expecting a strong Mercedes and a strong Red Bull.
No, really?
Yeah, obviously. I think we might see Perez come to life a little bit here.
Yeah.
Naturally. Not too sure what I think about the Ferrari. I just don't think it's a threat at race level. I think, you know, now we're getting to the point where the McLaren is getting kind of consistent.
Yeah.
I do think the Mercedes will be quicker than it this weekend. I think it will be quicker than it at the next two tracks.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of slower corners.
Yeah.
Which I think really suits the Mercedes. But yeah, I think we're in for a good race. Mexico, I think it should be cool. I think the vibe is always good there.
Do you want to know the times?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is actually right. So practice one on Friday is 7:30 to 8:30.
In the evening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right? Was it this late last year?
Probably. It's
because I'm going by what's on the F1. And
it's the same. It's the same time zone as Texas.
Yeah, true. Practice on Friday is 11 till midnight. Practice 3 on Saturday is 6:30 to 7:30. Qualifying is 10 to 11 on Saturday.
Nice. I'm yawning just hearing that.
Yeah. And the race on Sunday is 8 o'clock.
Lovely. I do like that.
Don't mind an 8 o'clock race.
Any stats? Hit me.
When was the first Grand Prix held?
Oh, shit. I just don't know this. I'm going to go like 1993 or something.
1963.
Fucking hell, yeah. Really?
Number of laps.
Ooh, I'm going to say 64.
71.
71.
Lap record and held by who? I can tell you it was in 2021.
71? It was in 2021?
Yep.
I'm going to say something stupid like Bottas.
Spot on.
Was it?
Spot on, son. Well done.
Shall I tell you why?
Why?
So I imagine they pitted him for softs at the end.
They did.
Was that where they told him to abort the lap?
No, that wasn't there.
Oh. Lap time. What? 1 minutes, 12 seconds.
1 minute 17.7.
Oh, sugar.
Can you tell me who the top three drivers were who finished in the race last year?
God, you know, I actually don't think I can. Max won it.
Yep. 15 seconds later, who came through?
Checo.
Nope.
Charles.
Nope.
Sainz.
Nope.
Lewis.
Yep.
Lewis came second, did
he? Yeah.
Then Checo.
Then Checo. Yeah. And then, right, this is mad, isn't it? So 18 seconds later, Perez came through. Then all of a sudden, in P4, 49 seconds later, Russell comes through.
That is...
By lap seven, P7, they were a lap down.
Yeah, that is pretty fucked up. Hopefully it is exciting this year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to it because I do think the Merc's going to be strong.
Who's your top three?
I'm going... Max. No, I'm going Lewis, Max, George.
What? Yep. Lewis Hamilton, no.
Yep, Lewis is getting his win in Mexico.
I'm going to go Max, Lewis, Lando.
Bit of a cop out, that one. Sounds a bit easy.
Yeah, well, you know, if it gets me the points, that's all right, isn't it? But yeah, that's the end of the podcast, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you're still listening to this. The end of this.
Well done if you've made it.
Well done. But yeah, let us know who your top three are. Let us know who, on all the topics we've discussed, what your thoughts are. We'll be back next week discussing reviewing the Mexico Grand Prix.
Yep.
And previewing the Vegas Grand Prix. No, Brazil Grand Prix.
There we go.
As Max Verstappen said this weekend, no shit, Sherlock. When he got asked that.
Did he?
Yeah, he said, oh, 2 weeks. He said, oh, it's Brazil. He went, oh, no shit, Sherlock. Thanks for telling me that.
To who?
On the reporters.
Oh.
Yeah. He's quite sarcastic, isn't he, really?
Yeah, he is.
Shock. But yeah, we did get asked the other day, actually, when we were going to do another live stream, but we haven't really discussed that.
No.
We might try and do another one towards the end of the year. We've done a couple, have we?
Yeah.
We did Australia. And... what was the other one we did?
Monza? No, that was just a straight up lie. No. I didn't even know what I said.
You completely lied that, didn't you? But yeah, we'll look at it and we'll consider doing another one. But yeah, guys, have a great week and we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye. Peace.